3. And this is our first meeting at our new digs. Greetings, Commander.
There's good news and bad news. We're very, very grateful to be able to have these facilities. They just surprisingly happened to open up so that we would be able to reach out and house some of the things that we have going. That's the good news. The bad news is we're going to have to really work, be productive, handle our business well, so that we can continue to grow. We cannot continue to grow well in the face of all the harassment that we have to put up with. There's a great misunderstanding amongst everybody, whoever passes this way, that somehow this fits what this room was, a church. There are plenty of churches, and there are some very, very godly churches. So let's not get all confused in our mind about what we're talking of here. Anywhere you gather two or more in the name of God, you have a church. There will be no, quote, church here of any kind of denomination ever. This is not a groupie situation. This is a mission that requires many, many individuals, most coming or dispersing at intervals. It will have the least focus, hopefully, if we ever can get there, of any one place, one group or circle on the globe. Ones continue to want to feel like they are being guided here, they are this, that, or the other. Stop it. This is not going to be necessarily a fun place to be. This is a place of pretty hard labor, very, very strict discipline. It is not a New Age something where you hear voices and you write down great and wonderful things. I would hope that the things that we do write down are great and wonderful. Most of the time I'm accused of doom and gloom, total destruction, Satan mouth, you know, I get it all. Ones have to understand if they come to this place, they're on their own. We are not an organization that reaches out and with our tentacles we suck everything in. Neither do you get very much insight on what your purpose is. Dorma has fulfilled a part of her purpose. She hasn't recognized her real purpose yet, simply because what she does is not her real purpose. And you sense it. So there is no blanket that finally you wrap around yourself and say, well, I'm finished. I knew my purpose, finally I did my purpose, and I'm done. There's always the searching, the seeking, the knowing you're not finished. We're not finished, we've hardly begun. And I can always understand the reaching out through my people that touch me in order to make sure that somehow I hear On the other hand, I have to repeat right back again. My mission is not here as a church teacher, as a unit guide, as a Boy Scout troop leader, where I can make sure that you are comfortable. My focus here is not to make all of you comfortable. It is to make everybody that comes into contact with me very, very uncomfortable until you find direction. And in most instances, it will not be here.
Could you pause just a minute, please, Commander?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Thank you, Commander.
You all have to understand that when we gather like this, there's a very special reason for gathering like this afternoon. And probably one which most of you in this room don't know. I want to hook up Bill Carr, for instance, with Gene Dixon. These are business meetings. And I don't want to ever make them so confidential that we have to again come into a little bitty room where ears are not welcome. And yet we also have to know that every time we have a meeting, every time we have anything, we have to speak in such a way that it can go out to the four corners of the world and not incriminate anyone and not get you into trouble. Because everything, according to one's focus, is everything else is out of context. If I joshed here and said, well, it doesn't matter whether I'm God or the devil, everyone in this room knows it matters a great deal whether I'm God or the devil. On the other hand, as long as I am performing work for God, I can serve either way, do you see? But by the time that comes out of George Green's mouth, on Florida radio station, I am a servant of Satan and have said so. Do you understand me? And I'm not going to put up much longer with this kind of clap, trap stuff coming back to me. I am not a preacher. I am a commander. And everybody who has ever been in the military understands exactly what I'm saying. There has to be a line of authority. I have a higher authority. And this is not your fundamental spiritual training ground in this room. If you have grown enough to be in this room and understand who it is and what it is I'm talking about, then you don't have any problem anyway. And we had to grow step by creaking, miserable little step. And we're still hanging in there growing. But you see, you ones can now get a little bit more help. Because as we do reach out and the word reaches out, you see, I tried to make it clear to everyone we were not in the publishing business. Over and over and over again, I said, don't count George, Desiree, on this being a major source of income. It will happen that as the word of truth goes out, it will begin to just flow like syrup across the lands. Will you be able to reap the reward of that? Hopefully some. But most of it in the kind of environment in which you now find yourself, in your governmental situation where you still cannot even figure out who your enemy is. And each one, if we went around the room, unless you've talked about it, you're going to have a different opinion. And I'm telling you every day who your enemy is. But you've just been trained to the extent, and you cannot see what is going on. Why can't you see? Because you're not supposed to. If you had any idea what is really going on, you wouldn't even go forward. You'd pack her in. And in a great measure, that's what I'm asking you to do. Get rid of these confounded, foolish fantasies and get with the program. Wouldn't it be nice if God just says, zap, zap, and it was heaven? Why would it be nice? You would have gotten something you didn't earn. And how long do you think you would appreciate it enough to keep it heaven? There's a certain amount of earning that you do have to do. So ones can come to me. Ones can write to me. I can reach out in love and compassion and say, I understand what you're saying to me. I hear what you're saying to me. On the other hand, precious ones, I did not say come here. I know what I say. And it may very well be like Twitter. Well, that Hatton is not the same Hatton I have. Isn't that funny? I came with Twitter in 1987 to hook up with Dorma. I needed her. And I think now you understand why I needed her. And I needed Twitter. But somewhere here, the New Age movement gets afoot. And Hatton can't be that one. Hatton cannot be Atom. And that is a record keeper, and he's a third grade teacher. Well, if you consider me to be a third grade teacher, then you are not worthy of teaching college or receiving a college professor's instructions. This does not put the receiver down. It just says there comes the wall and there is no breaching it. And if that's what I have to put up with in this group gathered here with me this afternoon, you see, I will weed out. I will go right straight through. And as ones are patient enough to find their reason and begin to function and be patient in that, we'll get there. But for ones to think, I came here hoping to serve you, that's one thing. I came here hoping. In some instances, I said before they came, through routes, through letters, through phone calls of other ones, do not come. You will be miserable here. It is neither the time nor the opportunity. There's nothing here yet. There may never be anything here for someone's. And what we pick up are most often the ones who did not find comfort or happiness or fulfillment in other groupies. And this sounds like it. But I want it to function like those other groupies I was with. Never. And as long as you think you know everything there is to know, whether it be in dealing with financial entities out there, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. I want to tell you, unless you know how the CIA, Naval Intelligence, Mossad and KGB work and have inside connections, you're not going to get anywhere. Honesty and truth will get you nowhere. Now, that's the sad part. The good part of that is that if you do your homework and you learn to function and you know what the routings are, the way it ought to be done, opens it up so that when it is done, you can have a place. But for instance, to think that you are going to go over, as the case may be right now, and do a great big deal with the president of Nigeria, you are laughing up the wrong coconut tree. Does that mean that it can't be done? Number one, if you know how it's done, you would think, God, oh my God. So you've got all sorts of things coming into play here. Does the money that comes originates in Nigeria? You see, you're never going to see money. Know that. You're never going to see the puddle of oil. You're never even going to see the oil drilling parks that they ordered to cover the money transfer. And I repeat, you're never going to see any money. What happens? Oh, well, you put this letter in there and you put this in there and over here, and then you pay off and you bribe and you make a big deal, or you threaten, you bring in the military, you park all of your navy off of Cuba, you know, you do all this stuff. And finally something happens that may give you a line of credit somewhere. But let's call it money. Let's assume you have a piece of gold and it makes it all the way around there and finally into your account. Is that gold bad or good? For you, it's really good, isn't it? Maybe it passed through some very bad hands. Well, I mustn't touch it because it's passed through those hands. Don't be foolish. That's exactly what they want you to think. Do I, Hassan, through this mouth, go out there and preach, hey, go for it. Let's bump that one, that one, that one, and that one off. I'll just zap them. I'll get rid of them. Do I break their knees first? How would you like to have me handle it, people? Because every day I get at least four letters telling me how to handle my business. And yet you will sit here, which I find less integrity in this, waiting for God to shower it on you. Why do you deserve something for nothing? It won't happen anyway. Get your perception straight. These transactions are taking place all over your globe, and I mean they are really in high gear now because you are just on the brink of being wiped out by nuclear war. I mean, they're just treading on little eggshells, little glass shards all over, trying not to make the big honker really mad so that you catch it. And I'm here trying to just let my people survive. The worst thing about this sweatshirt she's got on is she knows it's truth. You ones are busy. Other ones of you feel that, well, I would like to be that busy too. I know that. But when ones do petition me, you know, and tattle. I don't use the term tattle. I don't know what other kind of word you would have, you know, to speak to me about the unpleasantries that go on amongst people. I can take that within, and I can have great empathy and great compassion. But there is not one solitary thing I'm going to do about it. And let me tell you why. Number one, I did not go out and broadcast and summon ones. Ones who were summoned know they were summoned. And they do not have these kinds of problems. And I believe I could compare it to a group of grossly overweight people. Just recently on several panels, they're making the talk shows, you know. And there ought to be a law that says that nobody can be rude to us. I just want someone to come and ask me for a date, and I don't have to be the last choice. What in the world are they talking about? God and law are going to make people like you and ask you for a date, no matter what you look like. Everybody makes a choice. Wally down there has made a choice to get too thin, and I'm going to fatten you up, son. Now, I know why you're doing this, and I know how you're doing this, but I'm going to shatter some perceptions here. You're going to go through a hard period of time. And whether you like it or not, a measurable amount of fuel affixed to your body will allow you to make a transition here. Now, you ones are blessed in that you will have something to give you ready fuel. But we are not in a physical fitness contest to get rid of every ounce of body fat. She stumbled over it. She loathes this conversation. It is no help to the ones around you when it is time for everybody to physically pitch in for 24 hours at a whack. And you have no fuel to draw from. You will collapse. And you will create another burden. Just think of these things while you're at your meditation. And don't make a big thing of it. Know that you can live on nothing if you move there to that point. But don't practice it. Don't practice it too much. You who are getting ready, quote, to just about ascend, you ain't going nowhere. If you're good enough to get to the point where you can do that, you are one of the ones that really are going to need some energy because you're really going to be busy. You'll be able to do what you need to do as long as you just hold the course and don't move into extremes. It does two things. It causes an incorrect focus, and you can make yourself sick. So let's always use moderation in what we're doing. And I'm through with you, Wally. I won't make you get fat this afternoon. This is discipline, and I understand that, and it takes self-discipline to maintain that intake. And you do need this. But we have a lot of things to do in the meanwhile also. I have several questions that have been poured in at me. And I wanted to clear up that one first. That I cannot just have Dorma go around and tell ones what they're supposed to do. And I realize that the letters and things that come through her are not for her. But I also know that the ones who send through her expect an answer from her. So take that into consideration. And consider that right this minute, I am responding to several. I am not going to pick out ones and say, hey, you shape up and be nice to so-and-so or so-and-so. When there is a job to be done, I may very well say exactly that. Hey, you're standing in the way. I need to do something here. On the other hand, I cannot go around and say, just because you want to do something, I'm going to make others do something. I'm sorry, that's up to you. And now that we have that out of the way, let's move on to the subject of some things that we have at hand here. I want to introduce some people, or have some people introduce themselves or their friends or whatever. But at the same time, I want to hear from some of those friends, so I want to get my business out of the way. Let's talk about the new paper circulating around, which is one of the best information, short articles on kombucha tea that I've seen, done by Tom Valentine. Don't get hung up on that in relationship to what we are doing. Mugu Sass Osvos tea basically is the same creature. What we are calling Gaia Light started out as the same creature, but no longer is. So when ones come and say, well, can't I just make some membrane tea? And won't that be the same? No. Right off the bat, I would just say, do not confuse the two. For one thing, we are growing it now. In the presence of Gyandriana, we are programming it as we go. That is the beauty of the cell. On the other hand, if you think you're going to just manipulate it, you're not going to be able to do it. That does not mean that Dorma is special, but it does mean, and this is going to be a blow to her, that the Gyandriana, or the little Dryas that we use in that tea, will come from her. I can manipulate it. So when ones out there in the field say, well, okay, I will just put a little Gyandriana and I'll put a little of this and a little of that, and I heard they put a little of this and a little of that, are they going to come up with a good drink? Yes, indeed. It will not be Gaia Light. Now, what do we have that's important for? Many, many things. But the tea, of course, is a cleansing agent. It is a fuel supply. One say, you cannot put that much sugar into anything and have it healthy. Yes, you can. Because after it does its thing, it is no longer sugar. Hear me. It has completely converted itself. Now, ones want to dance around with different kinds of teas. That is just equally as silly. And I'm telling you right now, right here, the cheapest sugar you can buy and the cheapest tea you can buy is what you should use. It sounds really good out there to the health food market. Oh, to be no sugar. Sucrose or glucose or fructose versus. How about plain old cheap white sugar? You are trying to produce a base of something. And it's like table salt. Well, I don't want any chemicals, and I don't want any fermented beverages, and I don't want this. Then don't participate, because you're going to get it. Salt, NaCl, is a chemical, if you want to call it a chemical. Anywhere you have NaCl, you have salt, right? And I don't care what it comes from. You can contaminate it, dilute it, pollute it, anything you want to do, but the NaCl particulate in that substance is salt. And it's going to be salt every time you put these two things together. Just like air is going to be the same thing when you get these two things together. Water, in its basic form, is going to be the same thing every time. So let's quit playing games with our mind. The only game you need to play with your mind is the knowing that you're winning when you put these substances into your body that you know can replace and help you heal. And give the body instruction to receive and utilize it. Because it works. But it needs other things. It is not a miracle cure all. So I'm going to repeat. Raise your tea, raise your mushroom, sponge, whatever you want to call the slime. It probably could best be identified as a fungus. But it doesn't fit that either quite, does it? On the other hand, ones call in and say, well, I don't know, it has this whiff and it has this little taste. And it, well, good grief, have you ever smelled penicillin? Have you ever walked through a water purification plant? Good grief. And yet I understand that ones must question. Because especially if the FDA is after you, you must be producing something pretty rotten. Have you ever smelled a fish? I'm talking about a live, nice, clean fish. What is it with you people? You don't want to smell what you smell like, even. You spend millions and billions of dollars so you don't smell like a person. It's okay. You know, we certainly understand all of those things out there. People are receiving and they want to do the right thing. They want to utilize it properly. They want to understand about spelt. They want to understand, well, why would I demand that you put cranberry juice in? We try to cover these things, and yet I won't think of all of them. So I ask you ones, you know, as you get calls from people and they question these things, share them with us at times like this. There were some more questions. Somebody give me one. I want to answer your questions. I'm not going to sit up here and give you a bunch of formulas. That would be foolish on my part, wouldn't it? Not because I don't think someone else could go and use them properly, but they probably would go and use them improperly and shut you down. I could tell you this. As you start using these things, from Giandriana, Aquagia, you're going to pick up a different odor in the excrement, especially when you move into the Gaia Light and the cleansing starts. I want everyone to take notice. The body has to flush out what is killed. A cancer stinks. Everybody hear me? That's not fluffing up the word or anything. Because you are having mutated cells grinding and killing each other and necrosing and all sorts of things. A tumor smells bad. Now you add a breaking down tumor. After the flies get through with something, you know, and it's beginning to go back into its biological elements. Stinks. Your body will take care of that. But some of you have for 50, 60, 70 years been just kind of going downhill and getting more and more and more mutations going. And most of you will have some little tumors, malignant tumors scattered around your body. Some will know, some will never know. I can guarantee you, in this valley, everybody is carrying fungi. Because the next onslaught is valley fever, and that is a fungus infection. And that infection itself will allow the triggering of other fungi. Well, okay, what are we doing? We are dealing with a living fungus that allows no other fungus to live with it. Hear me? So you're getting the secret of the tea. And it will also stimulate and cleanse the kidneys. Clean out those tubules and flush it out. Therefore, every one of you will have gone through a period of time, and it probably, I would hope, is still present. Especially the first time that you urinate in the morning, it should have a very strong odor, lessening as you go through the program. That is because it's taking all of that waste and it is cleansing it out of the system. It is detoxifying the liver. That's got to come out of the system. Do I recommend that you quit smoking and drinking alcohol? I would recommend that even if it was good for you because it gets you in trouble. But for goodness sakes, if you are going to use it, up your intake of these other things. This is what I told Wendell. Don't give me something, son, that I have to tell you. You must give up everything or won't work. That is not trusting your own product. Everything works better if you do not abuse it and you keep it functioning. But to think that mankind is going to give up everything is stupid. And to say that God is not capable of sending something that can work in spite of that is limiting God. So I will say this. It is always better if you exercise, do all these things that show appreciation and because it must be your house. It must be your functioning tool. But know that when you go on this program and these other things begin to happen, and you will notice spelt has a very, very distinct odor. You can soak spelt kernels. It's going to smell different than wheat. You can grind it up. It smells different. Toast the bread. It smells different. So you will have to expect your body to begin to smell different. It doesn't mean you've picked up a disease. It means you are cleansing out whatever was there. This is a good sign and something by which every one of you can measure. And don't worry about the sugar in that tea. It is converted. You're going to have less than 3/100ths. That's not very much residual sugar if you allow it to take its full course. What else about it should I be talking about that you have questions about?
You mentioned that you're putting Diandriana in it, and we at home, I don't know, I haven't been, on this speaking about it. Are you speaking of the Mogu tea with Diandriana in it? Or what would you be making at home without the Diandriana?
She's asking if we're putting Diandriana into the tea mixture. Half of it we do, half of it we do not, because I wanted Dorma to see the difference in the membrane that grows. That is not a big concern, because when we add the Diandriana, we add it to the mix. And I really don't want to confuse the organisms that are growing there. So I have a bit of a problem in the steps that we're taking. So we're having to handle the experimental, let's put it that way, tea, separate and apart. And we are basically working still with the Diandriana that we will add to that. And when we're done, really, the tea itself, I'm gonna use it that, the liquid, the blend, the mix, will have programmed in all of its vitamins and minerals, every one of them. Just like the Diandriana now has all that programmed in it, so that all it has to do is merge and pick up its DNA particulate. You would want to call it its little genetic structure, or you know, it goes to the liver, it goes to the kidney, it goes to whatever. You see, what you have to do is saturate your body so that it spreads those cells out, and then they will, just like an ice cube into water, they will just blend. And at that point, they are picking up the pattern. Some of those patterns we can pre-program and are doing so. And if we can pre-program the Gyandriana to be already a whole product, each cell carries everything every cell in your body needs, it doesn't mean that you're going to absolutely grow hair like you had as a child. Your body has changed. And sometimes, quite frankly, for the better. So don't go look in the mirror and say, well, I don't really like it. I thought it was going to get rid of the crow's feet. No, it won't. But it sure will make a hell of a lot of difference in them. And one wants to treat it like an antibiotic. Well, let me tell you when it works like an antibiotic. After you have gone all the way through, now let's